Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus the Christ, our Master and our Savior, our Elohim and our Redeemer, the lover of our soul and the rock of our faith. I want to say happy Tuesday to everyone. I pray everybody had a blessed Monday. I want to welcome everybody out to Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry. And this is the newcomers class where we study the milk of the word. All the topics that we talk about in this class are what I consider to be the milk. Every once in a while, we'll get into some meat. But, you know, the milk of the word, what every saint should know, every new saint should know, and what every old saint should be able to teach new saints. So this is the milk of the word. And hold on just a minute. Sister Denise, I see you're actually the only one in the room. And I thank you for going in there. So we can see how that's going to act as we sort of try to transition and include the room. But I'm going to need you to mute your mic on your end because your background noise is coming through here.
Okay. All right. So you want me to just hang up and just call in?
No, I want you to stay where you're at. I just want you to mute your mic.
Okay.
All right, amen. All right, so on this evening, actually this morning kind of, and over a period of time here, I've been wanting to deal with this topic of Christ. Because I think that it confuses a lot of people, and they think that Christ is Messiah's last name, or that's kind of an oxymoron there. Think that Christ is Yeshua or Jesus' last name, and it is not. And so we want to deal with this from the standpoint, from the milk, so that we can understand Christ, what it is, because Christ is not a who. But a what? Okay, and so Yeshua, Jesus, carries the title of Christ. Jesus the Christ. But what is Christ? That's what we're going to talk about the next couple of lessons. I don't have this as a formalized lesson yet, so this is the first time that I'm doing this as a lesson. And usually I try to answer the who, what, when, where, why, how come in a lesson. And so you guys bear with me on this one as I develop it because I want to show, we're going to talk about tonight, we're going to get the definition, and then we're going to look at some scriptures, and then we're going to look at how this is fulfilled in the scriptures as far as the Torah goes. And then on next week, I think I'm going to bring it into the New Testament and show how Yeshua is the Christ because he has to earn that title. But that title has to fit the definition of what's in the scriptures and what how it's, you know, been utilized. And so I want, you know, the saints to understand and know what exactly that title, the Christ, stands for. So we want to welcome everybody on this evening. I am going to I'm going to open your mics, but what I want you to do is to mute yourself on your end so that we don't get, if there's any background noise, and we don't get any background noise. This is a class setting, so at any time while I'm teaching, if you have a question, you can hit the number one, and it'll show me a hand, and I will stop and you know, answer your question. And then Sister Mary, you just came into the room, so if you will mute your mic also.
Okay, I don't know.
Just hit the microphone sign up at the top of your by the, under the users, so that it has a line through it. All right, amen. Okay, and where was I at? Forgot where I was at. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and get into this precept. And on next week, I will bring it into the New Testament and show how Yeshua, Jesus, is the Christ. Okay, how he gets that title. But we want to first find out what is Christ. Okay, because it is very important that as the saints, we understand what that title means. Okay, and when we're, you know, when we're saying Jesus the Christ or Jesus Christ or the Lord Jesus Christ, that we understand fully what it means, okay, that we have this understanding so that we can walk before the Most High in truth and in spirit, and we're not just calling him, you know, Messiah something that we don't even know what it means. We just say, oh, they say it means anointed. So let us go ahead and do our statement of faith. Let's do that first, and let me, actually I need to be on a different login. So I'm not going to put it up in the room. Let me bring up the statement of faith. I have to actually log into a different account to do that on that machine. Let's see here. All right, our statement of faith. Well, before I do that, let me welcome everybody in Pal Talk, those in Blog Talk, those that are on the internet in general. We greet you in the matchless name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ, our Master and our Savior, our Elohim and our Redeemer, the lover of our soul and the rock of our faith. We want to say we pray that you have been eating well in the Word of the Most High. So whether you're in South America or North America or on the continent of Africa, in the Middle East, in the European theater, or in the Far East, in Russia, in any of its countries, China, because I'm glad that we're reaching the communist blocks now. And, you know, the Word of the Most High is going to go forth there. I have no doubts the Most High is going to do what he said he's going to do. So we greet all of you in the only name whereby men must be saved, Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Whether you're listening in Pal Talk or on Blog Talk, on the internet in general, or whether you've called in, please act accordingly as we do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3 verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. We just glorify you, Father. We lift you up and we magnify your name. We extol thee, O Yah. We extol thee. We magnify thee. We glorify thee, for you are Elohim, and you are Elohim all by yourself, Father. And we will not bow down and worship another, Father. We will not bend the knee to another. But it's you and you alone, Father, that we will worship. Hallelujah, that we give our lives to, and that we will serve. Hallelujah to you, O Father. Hallelujah, and thank you for all that you have done for us. Thank you for all that you're going to do. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. 10,000 praises times 10,000 praises times 10,000 praises to you, O Yah. We just glorify you on today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. All right. Let us go ahead and jump into this precept. I don't know how long we will be here tonight. I don't suspect that it will be the entire 2 hours, but you never know, because we're going to let the Most High, we always let him have his way. And if he comes, if he tells me to say something other than what I have written, then that's where we're going to go. Nevertheless, let us start off with, I want to ask a question. Number one, what is your understanding of Christ? And I'm going to open your mics. And Sister Mary and Sister Denise, you can open your mics at this time in the room, because I didn't mute you, so you're muted of your own. So you can unmute yourselves. Just press on your mic, and it'll open it up. And my question is, what is your understanding of Christ, Messiah. Okay. All right, that's your understanding, that he's the Father. But I just told you that Christ is not a who.
Oh. He's the power of the Most High.
Okay, the power of the Most High. Okay. Anyone else? Don't be shy. Because this is how we learn. Ask questions. Participate.
Is he the mediator?
That he's a mediator.
Between God and man.
Okay. But again, I just told you that he's not Christ is not a who. So we can't use he. Because it's not a who. So we're describing who we know has the title. But that's not the question that I'm asking. I'm asking you, and you just told me what you thought, and that's what I ask you. But if Christ is not a who, then we have to find out what Christ is. Does that make sense to everyone?
Yes. Yeah, the sacrificial lamb?
A sacrificial lamb? Yeah, that's one of the ways that that Yeshua obtains that title, but it's not exactly what it is. Okay, so I'm going to give you the definition according to the Strong's, and I don't 100% agree with the Strong's definition, okay, by itself, but I'm going to tell you what the Strong says Christ stands for. So in the Strong's, Christ stand is comes from the Strong's G5548, anointed. So we've heard people say, you know, the anointed one, the Messiah. It's an epithet of Yeshua, the Christ, Jesus the Christ. That's their definition. But really the scriptures give us a definition in a couple of verses. And it's from that definition that is given in the scriptures that I want to explore tonight as part of this lesson. Okay? So let us go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's get verse 24. And when you have it, if you say amen. Amen. Everybody else there? I want everybody to be on one page. All right, amen. 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 24. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greek, Christ, the power of God, the power of Elohim, and the wisdom of Elohim. This is what Christ is. Christ is the power of Elohim and the wisdom of Elohim. But that's not all that Christ is. So first, Christ is the power of Elohim, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Let's go to the book of Romans. Chapter 1. The book of Romans, chapter 1. So just off of that right there, we can see that Christ is not a who. The power of God, because a lot of people will say, you know, it will tell you that the Holy Spirit, the power of the highest. But the power of the highest, both of those are what? Titles. The power of it uses it as a title, and of the highest is a title. But who is the highest? Can anybody tell me? I don't care who.
Yeshua.
Yeshua. The Father is the highest. But they, you know, and we're kind of talking semantics here. So I'm going to use the generalized term that I don't like to use, but I'm going to use it this time because it's appropriate. Okay? God, Elohim, the Most High. The Most High is a title. Father is a title, right? So we're talking titles. But when we're trying to identify for our learning purposes, I'm going to say God, the Most High. Okay? He is the highest. So when we're saying the power of the highest, we're talking about there's nobody more powerful than the Most High. God, Elohim. It's a title for him. The power of the Most High. And the salvation of the Most High. Well, not even the salvation right now. The wisdom of the Most High. Okay. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Because now we're going to add to the definition of Christ. We know that he is Christ, not he, but it is the power and the wisdom of Elohim. But in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, we got, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The good news of Christ. This is not saying the gospel of Jesus Christ, but this is the way people will read it. Because people automatically assign Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, the last name of Christ. Okay, and so they automatically assign this title to a person. But it's not talking about a person. It's talking about the power and the wisdom of Elohim, the gospel of the power and the wisdom of Elohim. For it is. Does it say he is?
It is.
It's a it. That's why I say it. The Christ is not a who. It is a what. It's described as a it. Everybody got that? So that we can have some understanding here when we're talking in the scriptures and when we're talking about our Savior. When we're talking about the Most High. For it is the power of Elohim unto what?
Salvation.
So let us put this together. Christ, the power of Elohim and the wisdom of Elohim unto salvation. And that's where we want to dig into this at. Because this is a title. And what that title means is what the Most High does. How he uses his power and his wisdom to bring about salvation. Everybody still with me? To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, to the Gentile. So this is what Christ is, the power and the wisdom of Elohim unto salvation. Now, we're going to find out that Christ is not always a person. Is not always assigned to a person. But when it came to our salvation and our redemption, the Most High says, you know what? I need a sacrifice. And by the power of this sacrifice, I'm going to bring about salvation. But that's going to be on next week. We're going to look at this in Torah. Let's go get another verse. Let me go get this, copy it from someplace. Let me move this. I'm going to use it now and not later. cut it from there and move it up here. Let us go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And as I said, this is milk. But sometimes we just have to get away from what we have been traditionally told and dive into the word. Because, as I said, Jesus or Yeshua the Christ. If I said Yeshua the King, we know his last name is not what? The King? If I say Yeshua the Redeemer, we know that his last name is not the Redeemer. But when we say the Christ, somehow people automatically make it his last name. Because it says Jesus Christ. And it doesn't always say the Christ. But it should always say the Christ. Everybody understand that? Because this is something, it's something that he has to do to earn this title. Okay, so let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're going to get verses 3 and 4. And when you have it, say amen. Amen. Everybody else amen. With me? All right, thank you. Amen. Everybody else online too? I know y'all still there. All right. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. And all did eat of that same spiritual meat, and did all drink that same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now, this verse has a lot in it. These two verses have a lot in them. Because if you understand that Christ is not a who, but a what, then we have to actually interpret or translate these verses, get understanding from these verses, from that understanding. Messiah in the flesh did not walk with them in the wilderness. That's not what these verses are saying. But that's how people interpret them. That he was in the wilderness with them. He was not. So we're gonna find out what these verses are actually speaking toward. Okay? And all did eat of that same spiritual meat. Okay? Now, the Most High, remember what Christ is. And who can give me the definition of Christ? Should have wrote it down.
All right. He is the power and wisdom of God unto salvation.
Okay. Sister Lorraine just said the power and wisdom of God unto salvation. That is the definition. And that's the definition I want you to keep before you always. Because when we read these scriptures, then we got to understand that we're looking for his power and his wisdom, right? In the interpretation of the scripture, because that's what that word means. That's what the title means. So when it says, and that spiritual rock, and that rock was Christ, then we got to understand that rock, and we're going to look at that rock in a minute, was the power and the wisdom of Elohim unto salvation. Okay? So let us go to, I think I'm going to start with the manna. I want to start with the first part of this verse. So we're going to start with 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. And all did eat of that same spiritual meat. Now, the spiritual aspect of this was to teach Israel a lesson. So we're going to go and we're going to start with, well, we're going to actually start with what he gave them first. I said the meat book. That's a two-part thing. So let's go to Exodus chapter 17. the book of Exodus, chapter 17. And I want you guys to contemplate something. I want you to ask yourself a question. And I know somebody can answer this, and this is not the question, but can anybody give me a rough estimate of how many people the Most High brought out of Egypt into the wilderness? Anybody?
Is it around 400? 700?
400 people?
Yes.
Was that what your answer was, around 400 people?
Yeah, I'm just guessing, yes.
Yeah, it was a wee bit more than that.
700.
About 2,000? A wee bit more than that, too. Huh?
Oh, wow. A million.
A million would even be short. The numbers that we are given, and I can go get these scriptures for you, but we'll get it in a second so that you have it. 600,000 men of war only. So 600,000 men of war, including children. We'll get the verse. It's not counting the women. It's not counting those men that were too old to go to war or too young. So what that number doesn't include is the women and the children, those men that were too young to go to war, and those women that were or those men that were too old to go to war. Does everybody understand that? So the number would be more close to 2 to 3, maybe 4 million people that he brought out of Egypt. So write that number down. Let's just use 2 million. We'll go short because 2 million is still a lot of people, right? 600,000 is a lot of people. You got some cities in the U.S. that don't have 600,000 people. So it's a lot of people, but the number would be anywhere between 3 and 6 million. If you counted the children and that's not even speaking of the people who were Israelitish, because he only took these people out of the tribes of Israel. But did only Hebrews come out of Egypt with Israel? They came out of mixed multitude, right? But the only people he counted were the men from the tribes that were of age to go to war. He says that was 600,000. Okay? So then you say, oh, then we got some other people here. We know we got women, we got children. Everybody ain't between these ages. So it's way more than the 600,000. Okay, so we're just gonna round it off. We're gonna use what's in the scriptures. Just understand that it's more than this. We're gonna use 600,000 because that's still a lot of people. Okay. Now, the way that they left Egypt, did they pack food? Did they pack water? Amen. They did not. They left Egypt in haste, in a hurry. The Most High had them to, he said, rob Egypt, get the things that they needed, jewelry, silver and gold and all that. But even the bread that they took, they didn't even give it time to what?
Rise.
To rise. That's where we get the unleavened bread from. So, Exodus chapter 17. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandments of Yah, and pitched at Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. No water. You got a minimum of 600,000 men don't have water. So we got a problem. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses. Now with this word chide, let's look this up, this word, because it really kind of means complained. They were heckling him. Yeah, they could mean that too. But we're going to get the definition. This word is reb, R-I-Y-B in the Hebrew, R-E-B, pronounced reb, R-E-E-B, a primitive root properly to toss, grapple, mostly figuratively to wrangle, or hold a controversy. They're arguing with him by implication. To defend, adversary, chide, complain, contend, debate, lay wait, plead. But they're complaining, okay? Let's hear it, because we can hear it in what they say. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide you with me? Why do you complain with me? Why or wherefore or why do you tempt Yah? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? So they're complaining. You done brought us out here in this wilderness from Egypt to kill us of thirst. Now we know, we're going to find out when we read that we know that the children of Israel constantly, when they came out, they were constantly complaining and murmuring about something. So this is the first complaint. You done brought us out here to kill us of thirst. No water. Okay? And Moses cried unto Yah, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And Yah said unto Moses, go before the people. Now go ahead of the people. And take with you the elders of Israel and thy rod, the rod that he gave him when he saw him at Sinai the first time before he sent them into Egypt. Take the rod that you turn into a snake that you carry with you, wherewith thou smotest the river. Take it in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee upon the rock at Horeb. So the Most High said, I'm going to stand before you on the rock. This is a physical rock, right? It's a physical rock at Mount Horeb. And you shall smite, you shall hit the rock. Now, when we read about this in Number 17, when Moses sins, and people say, well, why did Moses get to go into the promised land? And people will say because he smote the rock, that he got angry and smote the rock. But the Most High told him to, what did he just tell him to do? Smoke the rock. That's not why he got in trouble. Okay? He did the same thing later that he does here. But we, you know, I've taught this before, but it's what he says that gets him in trouble. It's not him hitting the rock. Because see, when people try to make this rock Messiah, they're saying that Moses hit Messiah. But Moses is doing what he was told to do. Hit the what? Hit the rock. Smite the rock, and there shall come out water. And the people may drink, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, because they tempted Yah, saying, is Yah among us or not? They challenged the Most High. Are you here or not? Did you bring us out here to kill us? Is the Most High here or not? Or Moses, did you bring us out here to kill us of thirst? Now, the Most High has parted the Red Sea, delivered them. They've seen all the plagues and everything that the Most High have done, and the people still want to question if the Most High is there. Okay? But what I, you know, what I want to concentrate on here is Moses hit the rock and water came out of the rock. Okay? Now they're at this place. How many years did the children of Israel wander in the wilderness? 40 years. Come on, y'all. 40 years they wandered. 40 years the Most High would have had to provide water, right? Think. I want to, trying to give you things to think about, because I'm going to show you something here. They have come to Meribah. They've come to this place. And there's not enough water for the people to drink. And so did Israel stay in one place? What did the scripture say they did? They wandered, right? They wandered in the wilderness, right? Does wander mean to set up a city, a tent city? Whenever the Most High said move, they moved. When he said settle, they settled. Anybody not ever remember reading those scriptures? Because you know me, I don't ever like you to say Brother Miles said. Okay, I hope everybody else has read it before too. They wandered in the wilderness. They went from place to place to place. And they wondered because of their complaining. Now, I'm just going to tell you this, and maybe we'll go back and read it another time, but within the first month or two, I think like the third month, within the first year at least, now I have to go back and look at the time, but within the first year, the Most High wanted to take Israel into the promised land. So he brings them out, he brings them to his mountain, he gives them his laws. And I believe it's in the second year that he wants to, the second year after they come out of Egypt, he wants to take them into the promised land. He wasn't going to make them wander around the wilderness for 40 years. He wasn't going to make them wander around in the desert for 40 years. That was never his intent. His intent was, I'm going to take you into a land flowing with milk and honey. So he sends the 12 witnesses in to the promised land. 10 came back with a negative report. 2 came back with a positive report. And the people believed the negative report. And so because of their unbelief, the Most High said, okay. And because they were conspiring, now this is how bad it got, they were conspiring to kill Moses and Caleb and Joshua, they were conspiring to kill them and go back to Egypt. And the Most High said, hey, because y'all are acting this way, because you've done this, then you're going to stay 4 years for every witness and wander through the wilderness. And all of you that are 20 years old and older, you're not going to make it into the promised land. Y'all going to wander for 40 years. And until all this generation, everybody that's 20 years old and older, dies out. Y'all going to drop dead in this wilderness. You are not going to see the promised land. Class. Oh, okay, Sister Mary. Sister Mary, mute your... Oh, Sister Denise.
I'm trying to put it on mute.
Yeah, mute yourself. All right. All right, so they wandered, the Most High makes them wander in the wilderness for 40 years because of their complaining and because they wouldn't believe him that no matter what they saw, all the miracles that they saw in Egypt to prove to them that the Most High was with them, when they got here into the wilderness and he sends the spies into the promised land to go spy out the land. Moses did this. Go spy out the land. Bring back a report. And, you know, they said, hey, the land is good, but there's giants in the land, and we can't take the land. And this was 10 of the reports. And two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, hey, we can take it. But the people didn't believe Joshua and Caleb. They believed the 10 negative reports, and that got them condemned to wander the wilderness for 40 years. And so the Most High is going to have to provide food and water for Israel for 40 years in the wilderness. Okay? Let's go back to First Corinthians chapter 10, because I want you to just consider something here. Because now that you know that that rock was not a person, but that rock was actually a rock, a boulder, and I don't think it was a boulder, but if it was, you know, there's some things that the scriptures don't speak on. It's mentioned, but it doesn't speak on it. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. And if you have it, say amen.
Amen.
And
amen.
All did drink. All right, amen. Thank you. And all did drink that same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock. That, what did this rock do?
Followed.
This rock followed them. And when people read this, they believe that, because it says, and that rock was Christ, they believe that it's talking about Mashiach. But it's not talking about Mashiach. There's another miracle here that is not spoken of. So we have to say, how did that rock follow them? Because remember, the Most High had to provide food and water for them for 40 years. If they're traveling on the go, they either got to travel until they find water, travel along the waterways, or the Most High has got to provide water. And I'm telling you, it's the latter. Just like when Moses smote that rock and water came out, that rock followed them. Is that what the scripture said? Everywhere they went. It didn't just stay there where they first hit it, where Moses first hit it. The Most High provided water to Israel that whole entire time. So that's a miracle. But is that the only thing the Most High provided to Israel the whole time?
No.
So would this be too hard to believe? There is nothing too hard for our Elohim?
Amen.
And we don't really understand and consider his power when he demonstrates it to us, unless it says it right out. Like even when he says that they had to hold up Moses' hands so that the sun wouldn't move in the sky, so that they can kill the Amalekites. What power did the Most High have to use What did he have to do to cause that? For the sun not to move in the sky? Do you consider his power? He stopped the earth in its orbit. He let it keep spinning so nothing would come off of it, because it's the spin of the earth that gives us our gravity. But then he held everything on the earth but stopped it from moving through its orbit. Actually stopped the spin too. And let me stop that, because he stopped the spin too. I want you to consider that. The sun is not literally moving across the sky, even today. We see the sun rise, don't we? We see it set. It looks like it's moving across the sky, right? But the sun ain't moving at all. What's moving? The earth is moving. It's spinning. Yeah. So the sun is just sitting there. And as the earth spins, it looks like the sun is going across the sky. But the sun is not moving. It's the earth. And so for the Most High to stop the sun in the sky, he has to stop the earth. So if you serve an Elohim that can stop the earth from spinning, do you think he can make a rock follow the people of Israel and provide water? But do you see that this miracle is never even spoken of? Because they have made this rock a man? It doesn't say Yeshua was there. It says the rock was Christ. You just read that Moses was told to hit the rock, and the Most High said he will be standing on that rock, right? So do we believe the scriptures? Amen. And he caused this rock, after it brought forth water, to follow Israel through the wilderness. I need to provide water to my people every day. When they stop, they got to have water to cook. They got to have water to drink. They got to have water to bathe in. And not just a couple of people, but as a minimum, 800,000 people. But more like 2 million people every day. Can everybody understand that? Because Christ is not a who. It is a what?
Title.
So this rock that the Most High had Moses to hit, he showed his power by bringing, now anybody know what type of rock this was? I have to find that verse. Can anybody tell me what type of rock this was?
That follows them?
What type of rock? Because the scriptures actually tell us what type of rock this was. Didn't tell us right there, it tells us in another place.
I don't know.
Let me see if I can find this. Because I want you to marvel at the power of your Elohim.
Amen.
The works that he does are not little tiny small works. These are truly miraculous things. To stop the world from spinning so that the sun doesn't move in the sky, that is a miraculous work that only he can do.
Amen.
Ain't no other being can do that. That's why he's called the Most High Power. So let me find this verse, because I'm asking questions, but like I said, I'm still putting this together, so I don't have all the verses that I want to use. Let me see if I can find this verse. Okay. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 18. And we're going to get verse 15. And when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought. Drought is no water, right?
You said Deuteronomy 18?
Right. Deuteronomy 18 and 15. And verse 15.
That.
I'm reading in Deuteronomy 8:15.
Oh, 8:15.
Deuteronomy, I'm sorry, did I say 18? I'm sorry, my bad. You know I get dyslexic like that sometimes. All right. Deuteronomy 8 and 15. Amen. Well, you're supposed to, if I'm in the wrong place, you correct me. Deuteronomy 8 and 15. That's why I have you guys read it with me. Everybody there? Deuteronomy 8 and 15.
Amen.
Who led thee through great and terrible, through the great, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions, and drought, where there was no, what?
Water.
Who brought thee forth water out of what rock?
A flint.
What do we use flint for?
To make fire.
To make fire. Out of a rock that is used to make fire, he brought water. So this is something that would be impossible. When Moses struck the rock, what should have came forth? That's right, sparks. Just like when you got a cigarette lighter now, you strike that wheel on it, that rock that's in that lighter is a flint. It's a flint rock. And when you hit it with metal, and I don't know if Moses had any metal on his staff, but when you hit it with metal, sparks come off. But this rock is used to make fire. So your Most High used a rock that you would use to make fire, and he brought water out of it. So the people should have been amazed at what? That. And we should be amazed at that. Because the Most High is showing his power. Out of what you would expect fire to come out of, I'm going to make water come out of it. Amen. Let's move on. Now, that spiritual rock, that, do you think that if the Most High didn't have this rock to follow them, every day they would complain that they had no water?
Yeah.
They would complain every day. Because every day you need water, don't you?
Yeah.
Can't get by without it. You can go a couple of days without it, but you can't go no days and days and days without water. Especially if you, what, traveling through the wilderness?
Right.
So you hiking, you got a backpack. And you got a load on you. You're going to sweat. You're going to need water. And they've already run into a place where there is no water. So the Most High says, I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to make this rock that is supposed to bring out fire, that's bringing out water. I'm going to make it follow you. And it's going to provide, and you know what, and I'm saying this now, so don't write this down as a gospel. I'm saying this. No, I'm not giving an ad. Just know that this rock followed them. And when they needed to stop, it brought forth water. Every day. For 40 years. Now, that should amaze you. That should say, what an awesome Elohim we serve. He is worthy. Because you have to recognize him for who he is and what he does. So our salvation, we're going to look and see what a wondrous work that was. Because he had to use his power and his wisdom to bring about our salvation. But right now, he's bringing about the salvation of Israel in the wilderness. So he used a rock to bring forth water. If he hadn't brought forth the water, what do you think would have happened to the people? They would have died of thirst in that wilderness, right? So did he save them? Can everybody see that? Not just Sister Mary and Sister Denise.
Yes, I can see that.
All right, and it's not just you just there either, Sister Lorraine. But if they're not going to participate, I ain't going to force them. All right. So I want you to understand. He used his power and did it out of something so that they couldn't say, oh, it was water in the rock. Because the rock that he used don't have water in it. It's used to make fire. So you can't attribute this to anything else other than this is a miracle in the power of the Most High. And you can't give nobody else the glory for it but him. Can't use no science to explain, because, a scientist would be like, this is impossible. There's no way that this rock should bring forth water. This rock brings forth fire. So he uses power to bring about salvation for Israel. Now let's see what his wisdom is in this. If you got 600,000 to 2 or 3 million people need water every day, need water every day. And you make them count on you. Because now they're going to get used to the Most High providing what? Water for them? Every what?
Every day.
And if he don't, they're in trouble. So they got to learn to depend upon him. And this is what we're supposed to do. Every day, depend upon who? The Most High. The Father. Every day. Give us this day our daily what? Every day. This is what he was teaching Israel. Now, this is with water, right?
Yes.
And he showed his power. And he showed his wisdom. Because I need his people to start learning to count on me.
Amen.
Now, let's go and look at the manna. And let me see where I got that at. Let's go to Exodus chapter 16. The book of Exodus chapter 16. And we're going to see Christ again, okay? But it doesn't call it Christ, but this is Christ, all right? Exodus chapter 16, we're going to start in verse 1. When you have it, say amen.
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 All right, amen. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel, what did they do?
Murmured.
Did they murmur before?
Murmured.
Yes.
Good for this. Murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to Elohim we had died in the land of Yah. We wish Yah had killed us in the land of Egypt. Now hear what they're saying. When we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat the bread to the full. Now they were being tormented in Egypt. But they said, hey, we got bread and flesh every day. And we wish you had killed us and left us there. Hear what our forefathers are doing. For you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly. Now with what?
Hunger.
With hunger. First, you're going to kill us with thirst. Now they complain you're going to kill us with hunger. The Most High is doing this intentionally. He's doing this intentionally. Because number one, he wants to show his what? Power. He wants Israel to understand his power. This is who you're dealing with. You're not dealing with any of those gods that you saw and heard them speak of in Egypt. Because most of these people, if not all of them, all they knew was Egypt. And they knew the gods of Egypt. So he's got to show them who he is. So he brings forth the plagues in Egypt. He splits the Red Sea. He kills all the firstborn. He makes it completely pitch black all over the land of Egypt except for in Goshen, where Israel was at. Now, imagine that. The Most High makes it pitch black everywhere, except for where his people at. They got light. The Egyptians fumble around. It's so dark they can't see their hand in front of them. But then look over at Goshen, they see light. Well, how they got light and we don't? I mean, put yourself in those shoes. Put yourself in the story. Make yourself an Egyptian first. It's pitch black. That means it was saying that you wouldn't get no light from no candle, from no fire, no nothing. If you lit a fire, you still didn't get light. And it's pitch black where you're at. You go outside and you look over toward Goshen and you see light. Or it's frogs everywhere. And your water is all blood. ain't drinkable. But the Hebrews' water is drinkable. And they ain't got frogs everywhere. Or flies. Or lice. Boils or none of that stuff. None of those plagues. So he's able to be selective with his power. We could be in a battle. And it's thousands and thousands and thousands of soldiers in a battle. And they all moving around. And you didn't hid yourself, disguise yourself. And the Most High still wants you dead. So he causes somebody to shoot an arrow in the air and it come down and kill you. That's what he did. That's what he did to Ahab. Ahab took, what was the king of Judah at that time? Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat married his daughter to Ahab. Then Jehoshaphat went and visited Ahab. And Ahab said, hey, I want you to come against me against the Ammonites and somebody else. But really what he was doing was he was trying to set Jehoshaphat up. When I read that story, I was like, oh, this dude trying to set him up. Going to cause him to be killed. So he says, you wear your kingly robes into the battle. I'm going to disguise myself. And Jehoshaphat did it. And then the Ammonites and whoever, the Ammonites and the, I forget who else it was with them. It's another two. It was the Ammonites and it was the, who was Esau's people? The Edomites. And another nation, three nations that came against Ahab. And they told their soldiers, when you go into battle, don't look for nobody but the king. Don't look for nobody but the king. We want him dead. And so I think Ahab was in league with these guys because he tells Jehoshaphat, hey, you wear your kingly robes in the battle. I'm going to be disguised. And when these soldiers surrounded Jehoshaphat, he cried out to the Most High, and the Most High showed them that, hey, that ain't Ahab. So they left him alone. And then a soldier just turned around and shot an arrow into the air. And it came down and struck Jehoshaphat, just struck Ahab between his armor and wounded him. And he died later on that day. So the Most High says, oh, you can't hide from me. You try to get and Jehoshaphat was a righteous king, but the Most High was still mad at him for dealing with an evil person. And he sent the prophet to him saying, hey, why did you deal with that evil person? And he was mad with it. Okay, so the Most High can be selective in his power. And he's showing Israel his power. This is your Elohim. This is your God. I delivered you out of the hands of the Egyptians by miracles that nobody else can do. Some of these things nobody else, because the Egyptians were doing some of them. Then all of a sudden, the Most High says, well, all right, now let me start doing some things y'all can't do. So ain't going to be no doubt. So now they're in the wilderness. People start complaining about, we ain't got no water. Most High brings water out of a rock that's only supposed to bring forth fire. Now they're complaining about their what? Hungry. And not only are they complaining about their hungry, they bold up to say, we wish you had killed us in Egypt. That's bold. Let's keep going. Then said Yah unto Moses, verse 4, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. Does it typically rain bread from heaven? Anybody ever seen some bread rain from heaven?
No, I haven't.
They hadn't seen it before this time either. So the Most High is going to show his power again, right? The people are hungry. They're complaining, wishing that he had killed them in Egypt. He says, let me show them my power again. Because this is Christ, the power of Elohim, right? I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them. The Most High, when he provides for us, he also proves us. Let me see if you're going to do what I told you to do. To prove them whether they would walk in my law or no, or not. And see, we'd be asking the Most High to deliver us. We'd be asking him to do things for us. And sometimes he will give it to you and provide for you to see how you're going to act. Sometimes a blessing becomes a curse if you don't walk in his ways. You got to understand who we're dealing with. I'm doing this to prove them. Are they going to walk in my law? So y'all hungry, let me feed you. Now, he's going to make a law about this to see if they will obey it. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day, they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. So think about this. Now, when we understand what the Most High is doing, we'll read this. Every day he provided manna. 6 days a week. The 5 days out of the week, he provided enough for you to get enough just for you to eat. Not for you to have no extra. Get what you need to eat. Get full. Don't try to store up none for later on. Don't be trying to have you no midnight snack. Let's read this. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, at evening you shall know that Yah has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then you shall see the glory of Yah, for that he hears your murmuring against Yah. And what are we that you murmur against us? Why are you murmuring against us? We ain't got no control over this. Don't look at me. Look at who? Look at Yah. Look at the Most High. And Moses said, this shall be when Yah shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread in the full, so that Yah heareth your murmurings, which you murmur against me, him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against who? And that's what we got to understand. Sometimes we see, because the Most High, people, they weren't seeing the Most High. He's coming through a messenger. They blame the messenger. But really who they are complaining against and who they're angry with, mad at, is the Most High. And Moses spake unto Aaron, say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before Yah, for he has heard your murmuring. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of Yah appeared in a cloud. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmuring of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at evening you shall eat flesh. In the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am Yah, your Elohim. So he's making sure that the children of Israel know that it's him. And it came to pass that at evening the quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning the dew lay round about the host. Now, they complained that they had no meat before. And the Most High started flying these quails in already, 10 miles wide, 3 feet deep, every day. Think about that. You got to feed millions of people. They want meat. The Most High said, I'm going to give you meat then. He causes the birds, the quails, to fly up every day, land on top of each other, 10 miles wide, 3 feet deep. Y'all go pick up what you want, what you need. And these birds is going to lay there and let you pick them up. Now they want bread. The Most High says, I'm going to cause the dew to fall every day. Now, let's say this. This happened 6 days a week. Because we know that the dew didn't fall on what? Sabbath? The quail didn't fly in on the Sabbath. The rock didn't bring forth water on the Sabbath. Everything rested on what? On the Sabbath. Now, he don't say nothing about this rock. But would that be consistent with what he was doing with Israel? It would be consistent. I'm not, you're going to rest on the Sabbath. And when the dew that lay was gone up before, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. So you can kind of picture that in your mind. Don't even worry about the word hoarfrost or hoar, because that's a type of frost, but it's kind of a heavy frost. But we've all seen frost on the ground if we live in the north, right?
Right.
And that's what that manna looked like. And they would have to come and rub it together to make it stick together. So when you rub frost, it kind of melts, right?
Right. Yeah.
But this didn't melt. It actually stuck together. And you would gather it. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna. They just made up something. For they knew not what it was. So they just made up something. So manna, the Most High had to give it the definition of bread from heaven. Because our forefathers didn't know what this was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which Yah has given you to eat. This is the thing which Yah has commanded. Gather it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man, according to the number of your persons. Take you every man for them which are in the tents. And the children of Israel did so and gathered some more and some less. Some families were larger than others. But they're only supposed to gather an omer for each person. Can everybody understand that? No more than that. This was the law. This is why he said, I'm going to see if they're going to obey my law. Okay? And the children of Israel did so to gather some more and some less, verse 18. And when they did meet or measure it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. In other words, whatever it was that you gathered was enough for you. It filled you up. They gathered every man according to his eating. So some people had big stomachs and they needed a whole omer. Some people were small and petite. They didn't need a whole omer, so they didn't get a whole omer. They just ate what they what needed. Now let's see what, and Moses said, let no man leave of it till the what, morning. So whatever you get, you need to eat it now. Don't try to keep it overnight. Because this is a test to prove them. Now has the Most High shown his power?
Yes, he has.
I cause these quails to fly in here every day. Now I'm going to give you bread to go with that meat. And that water. And I'm going to prove you. I'm going to test you. I'm going to tell you exactly how I want you to do this. I'm going to tell you how much. I'm going to see if y'all going to try to do other than what I said. So Moses said, don't leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not or listened not to Moses. But some of them left it until what?
Until the
now, he just told them don't do that, but you're going to always have some hard-headed ones. Always. And it did what? Bread, worms, and stank. You wasn't going to eat that. Now, wait a minute. They left it until the morning, and it started rotting it out, and it had worms in it. Now, this is also a miracle of the Most High, showing his power. Because when you leave something out to rot, in order for it to get worms in it, eggs have to hatch. And then those larvae have to start eating and start growing, right? But these worms, they were like quick. They just appeared there. Oh, it's past the time. Time for us to show up. By the power of the Most High, I'm going to cause this stuff to rot so fast, these worms just going to be there. And it's going to stink so that you know you can't eat it. And probably smell like dead flesh.
Brother Miles, can I ask a question?
Sure.
So, actually, manna is a frost.
It is a frost. It appears on the ground like a frost. It's not actually a frost, but when you look at it, that's what it looked like. It wasn't, frost comes from what? Ice? Water?
Yeah.
So it's a mist that's on the ground, it freezes on the ground. But this is what this looked like, but it didn't behave like frost. When the sun hit it, it didn't start melting. And when you rubbed on it, it didn't melt away. It actually started to coagulate and stick together.
Okay.
And so they would, you know, just keep rubbing the ground until they got an omer full. So you could look at it like being almost like a dough.
Okay.
Because they could boil it and they could fry it, they could bake it. So it actually, from its consistency after they gathered it, it would seem that it was like a dough. But it had a sweet taste to it. Okay, verse 21. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. Well, let's go back. And it stank, and Moses was wroth. Moses was what? Angry with them. Because they just disobeyed, right? Now, it doesn't say that he killed these people.
He got mad at
them. Okay, but this would be an unusual instance because typically you disobey, you die. So this is an exception right here. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. So they had to get out there early in the morning then, right? Before the sun got up to its full strength. So we got a time that they gotta go out there and do it. And they got an amount that they can gather. Everybody understand? And you couldn't be lazy, because if you were lazy, you would miss out. You couldn't sleep in to 10 or 11. Or else there wasn't going to be no manna for you. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much. So now they had, if they were supposed to gather one omer, they gathered what? Two omers? Now, this is again showing the power of the Most High. To see his power. It's not in there gathering two omers. Where's the power at? Two omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which Yah has said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto Yah. Bake that which you will bake, and seethe, that means to boil, that which you will boil, and that which remaineth over, lay up. Now, they were told before, don't lay it up, right? Lay up for you to keep until the morning. Now, this is how we're supposed to do the Sabbath, today even. On the sixth day, the preparation day, you're supposed to cook for how many days?
6 days.
No, you ain't cooking for 6 days. The sister got a collection of Tupperware. Amen. Cook for 2 days. That's what you're supposed to do on the preparation day, and then on the Sabbath you don't cook. So the Most High is training Israel. This is how you observe my Sabbath. I told you I wanted you to rest on the Sabbath. So I told you every day I'm going to provide for you to eat. And then on the sixth day, I'm going to put the manna out there and bring in the quail and the water, but you gather for 2 days on the sixth day and lay it up. Every other day, you're not supposed to lay it up. Eat what you need today. Tomorrow I will provide for you again. So don't be trying to store nothing. Can everybody see how he's trying to train them?
Yeah.
And he's doing it by his power. And this is a type of Christ. When we understand the definition of Christ. Can everybody understand that? This is him showing his power. Every day I'm going to provide you food or you're going to starve to death. Every day I'm going to provide you water or you're going to thirst to death. Every day I'm going to fly in quail or you're not going to have meat. He's causing it all to happen. It's his power. And his wisdom is to, one, save Israel, and two, to get Israel to count on him. Three, to learn his law. So he gave them a law, right? Pick up the manna every day, 5 days out of the week. Pick up an omer, or according to your eating. If you don't eat an omer, don't pick up an omer. Pick up what you eat. But if you eat a lot, the most you can eat is what? An omer. So don't get greedy. I don't need y'all getting overweight and obese because we going to be moving. So eat what you need. And now on the sixth day, I'm going to provide enough that you're able to gather twice as much. And you're going to be able to hold it over until the next day. So what's not going to happen? You ain't going to get no worms in it. And it ain't going to stink. So we got to ask ourselves, well, Most High, how you do that? You every other day it stink. Every other day it gets worms in it. But on the preparation days for the Sabbath so that we can rest and we still have our food, you provide for 2 days and then it doesn't rot out. The same stuff. We know that's got to be only by his what? Power. Christ, the power of Elohim. He's showing his power to them. This is that spiritual meat. The quail and the manna. Can we understand that? They wasn't eating Christ in the wilderness. They weren't drinking, well, let me say it this a different way. They weren't eating Yeshua HaMashiach in the wilderness. They weren't drinking Yeshua HaMashiach in the wilderness. They were drinking actual water that came from an actual rock by the power of the Most High. They were eating actual bread that the Most High provided them on the ground in the form of manna by the power of the Most High. They were drinking water that he provided. That's his power. Unto their salvation. Because without these things, they would what? Die. So he's showing in them and training them that I am your provider. Okay, now I'm giving you a law to prove you, to test you and to prove you. Are you going to be an obedient people or not? So verse 23. And he said unto them, this is that which Yah has. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath. Unto Yah, bake that which you shall bake today, and seethe that which you shall seethe. Boil it, fry it, whatever. And that which remaineth over, lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up until the morning, and Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. So that's the power of the Most High saying, hey, every other day I cause this to rot. I'm controlling your food supply. And I said, a day is going to last for 2 days, and it lasts for 2 days. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto Yah. Today you shall not find it in the field. So they had already went out the day before. They had gathered their what they're supposed to gather. They done cooked it. And on the Sabbath, they're supposed to eat that night what they're supposed to eat. And then on the Sabbath, they're supposed to eat what was remaining, right? So if you were only supposed to eat an omer a day, on Friday, they're supposed to eat an omer. That means that on the Sabbath, on Saturday, they're supposed to have an omer left. Okay. Now, what did some of them do? 6 days you shall gather it. Right. Well, why did they go out and get it, though? But let's read it for a second. I got a little bit ahead of myself. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. I'm not going to put this manna down there. I'm not going to bring in these quail. And I don't even believe the water from the rock flowed either. Everything is going to rest on the Sabbath. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the Sabbath day for to gather. Still always going to be some that are what? Disobedient, hard-headed, rebellious, unbelieving. And they found none. And Yah said unto Moses, now I want y'all to hear how the Most High thinks. That's why I said when we come together as a group, as a community, we have to be on one page. We can't be doing our own thing. And Yah said unto Moses, how long refuse you? Did Moses disobey?
No.
So he's not really talking to Moses. He's really talking to the people that were disobedient. But who's catching it?
Moses
is. How long refuse you to keep my commandments and my laws? Now, he just gave them this commandment earlier in the week, right? Gather an omer worth every day. Gather according to your eatings. Don't keep it overnight. On the preparation day on Friday, gather for 2 days. Eat one omer one day, eat the other omer on the Sabbath. Okay. How long refuse you to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that Yah has given you the Sabbath. Therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide you every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. Now there was a change in the law. There was a change in the New Testament to that. But under the law in Torah, were you supposed to go outside?
No.
He's trying to teach them to do what? Stay inside. Rest. Worship. But don't go outside. So the people rested on the seventh day. And the house of Israel called the name of thereof manna. And it was like coriander seed. And the taste of it was like wafers made with what? With honey. It's kind of sweet. And Moses said, this is the thing which Yah commanded. Fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. Now, I want you to understand, I want you to read, because I'm going to show you another miracle here, another of Yah showing his power, okay? And Moses said unto Aaron, take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein and lay it up before Yah to be kept for your generations. So the omer that Aaron took and put in the altar lasted for 40 years. As a memorial to them. Every day, well, they couldn't look at it, but Aaron and the high priest could, the high priest family, as a memorial. As Yah commanded, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel did eat manna how many years?
40 years.
Until they came to the land, to a land inhabited. They did eat manna. Now, we will read about this in Joshua. Okay? Because they ate manna all the way up until the time they crossed over the Jordan River. And then Joshua had to recircumcise them, Israel, a second time, because the whole time that they were in the wilderness, they did not keep the Passover because they weren't circumcising the male children that were being born. And the Most High wouldn't let them circumcise them because they were up under a penalty. I'm not going to let y'all have Passover until all these that are 20 years old and older die for their disobedience. So they didn't have. They had Passover the first year when they originally came out of Egypt, and then the second year. After the second year, for the next 40 years, they didn't have Passover. But they had manna, and they had the quail, and they had the water from the rock that followed them 40 years until they came into the land that was inhabited that he was going to give them. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. So everybody understand his power in that. And how it is the definition of what? Christ. How he showed his power and saved them. How he showed his wisdom to teach him his statutes and his laws and his commandments. How he showed them that if they transgress, it made him angry. Can we see this? So this is the Christ, the power, and the wisdom of Elohim to bring us unto salvation. We're going to see Christ again, and not in the form of a man first. Because he's going to have to do some works in these last days. And then Messiah is going to return, the one that holds the title. The man, the individual that holds the title of Christ, the Christ. So on next week, we're going to have the second part of this. We see how the rock was that flint rock that water came out of, that fire would normally come out of, but water came out of it to provide water for the nation of Israel so they wouldn't thirst. We see how the meat, that spiritual meat, was the manna and the quail to save Israel from starvation and to teach them, like with the water, to count on the Most High. To teach them that he is their deliverer. He is their provider. He is their Elohim. And that their Elohim is powerful. So on next week, we're going to look into how Messiah, that's saying the same word, Christ, how Yeshua HaMashiach, we're going to look into how Yeshua earned the title of the Christ. What power did the Most High have to use? What wisdom did he use toward our salvation? Anybody have any questions on what the definition of Christ is?
No, I have a question.
Anybody have any questions on how it's used? How it is used, the word Christ.
No.
Okay, any other questions? All right, if there's no questions, today is Tuesday, so we will meet again on Thursday for the business meeting in meetings.glorytoyah.org. We will start reviewing the toolbox for the cooperative, and then we'll start, you know, reading that and understanding so that we can start writing the bylaws for Yesharon Farms. Yesharon Farms, which anybody know what Yesharon stands for? I've told you before. Let me see if you remember. No, it don't stand for the Most High. Yesharon means righteous Israel. Yeah, righteous Israel. And we want to be righteous Israel. We don't want to be like our forefathers, hard-headed and stiff-necked. We don't want to be stubborn. We don't want to be murmuring, complaining, especially if we ain't doing right. But even if we are doing right, we got to know that the Most High is our deliverer, whatever we're going through. He will deliver us out of it. He will provide a way. And that's what these lessons that he was trying to teach to Israel, our forefathers. I am your provider. I am your deliverer. I am your savior. Every day, count on me. Messiah summed it up in the Lord's Prayer or Yah's Prayer. Yah is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He anointeth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Do I walk through the valley of the shadows of death? Thank you, sister, because I had forgotten. Those things you learn when you're a kid that you just forget. Do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? I shall fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they what? Thou preparest a place before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed, holy be thy name. Thy kingdom come. This is what we're praying for. Thy will be done. Your will, Yah, not mine. In heaven and in earth. Give us this day our daily bread. and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. He actually wants us to believe and do these things, to count on him in that way, not just say it, not just be what? Not worshiping just with our lips, but be a doer. What we read, we have to believe and we have to do. He's not just telling us to do it just to do it, just to say it. But we just read and showed how he was training Israel to his statutes, his laws, his commandments, and how he wants things done. And how we are to rely on him, how they were to rely on him. He made them have to rely on him. And if he don't make us have to rely on him, then we think it's us. We think it's us that, you know, have made the money. We think it's us that is paying the bills. Let him take your health from you. Let him destroy the market. And everything that we had invested, we thought that we had invested, the money we thought we had in the bank, the store that we thought we had. Who you gonna call on then? So no matter where we're at or how we are, we're to appreciate and acknowledge him every day for what he does for us, what he gives to us. And if we are struggling and going through, we really should look inside, because he says, I will never leave you or forsake you unless you forsake me. And you forsake me by disobedience, by not obeying my voice, by not keeping my commandments. Then I ain't providing nothing for you but a hard way to go. So we struggle with some things, and, you know, we don't want to look at self. But we need to look at self. All right. That being said, let's bow our heads. Father Yah, we thank you on tonight for your word. Father, we thank you for showing us your power and your wisdom, and that this is Christ, and you use it for our salvation. You use it to allow us to survive in this world that you have placed us in. You use it so that we can make the correct choices from a sound mind. When we understand who you are and how you operate, that you have our best interest at hand if we will just allow you to be who you say that you are to us. That we would know your power, and that we would know your wisdom, and that we would rely on you. Every day, Father, every day, that we would rely on you. Father, bless your people. When we call for unto you, Father, that we believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, no matter what it is that we require, that we need, that you want us to have, you have the power to give it to us. You have the power to deliver it from us or to us, if we will just be obedient. If we won't murmur, if we won't complain, if we will trust wholly in you, if we will do what you say. Help us, Father, that we should be obedient, that your word should manifest in our life, and that we should know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we know, that we know, that we know that you are our Elohim, because we obey your voice. All that you say, Father, we will do, for we are your people and you are our Elohim. In Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ's name, I pray. Amen and amen. All right. So just know, if you're obedient to the Most High, He will provide. If you're in a situation, if you truly call out to Him and you are, again, obedient, He will deliver you. But you got to be obedient. Can't be doing nonsense and expect that the Most High is going to do anything. He ain't got nothing to prove to any of us. But He wants us to prove Him by His word. He says, if you obey me, you will never lack. If you see to my business, you will have all sufficiency in everything. But if you only look out for yourself and you don't do for me, then you're going to be fighting the destroyer. And you're going to be fighting a losing battle. Because the destroyer is there on my command. And my word shall not fail. So sometimes we're going through things so that we can come back to the Most High, and He wants us to come back. So on Thursday, we'll do the business meeting, and then on Friday, we're still in the discipleship series, learning how to walk with the Most High, learning what a good disciple should do and not do. With that being said, may the Most High bless you. May He keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Only He has a heaven and a hell to put you into. Only He can reward you or punish you. Fear Yah and keep His commandments. Shalom, family. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday, whatever's left of it.
Pray that it's all about you. Cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there to teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahoo.
Good night, Sister Mary and Sister Denise.